during this holiday season, Lord, let none be without, oh God. Make sure that they have what they need, Lord Jesus, that they got the things, Lord Jesus, that they need, Lord Jesus, some of the things that they desire, oh God. For you said in your word that you give us the desires of our heart, Lord. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Lord, for we know this one thing and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Safe House Church. I don't know about you, but y'all know Pastor's already fired up. You know, I'm counting back somewhat in my element. Well, God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. And I'm just so glad to be here with you all on this morning. You know, this is not what I would like ideally, but, you know, this is what we got, you know, and God is just still blessing. He is in the blessing business, that we are still walking into the year of the double blessing, that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And as we get prepared and to go into the harvest, as we prepare to do what God has called us to do, as we continue to prepare and go forward, I'm here to remind you today that God has something in store, that we have to keep going. You know, we often talk about this walking by faith and not by sight. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you know, we get weary and well doing. I ain't going to sit and tell you that pastors have some tough times. I look at things and I'm saying, Lord, what's going on? I look at situations and say, Lord, why is this happening? Why is this going the way that it's going? And I don't understand it. Lord, I thought we were doing this and we were doing that. But sometimes God just asks us to exercise just a little patience. Just a little patience. And sometimes all he asks us to exercise, just a little patience. A little patience. Just a wait on him. He said, what? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings of an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and never faint. So that tells me that what? He's going to be my undergird. He's going to be my power. He's going to be my strength. So all I have to do is keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. And if I keep going and I see what happens at the end, I know that what? The book tells me that we win. Oh, come on, somebody. You got your book this morning. The book tells me that we win. The book, I read the book and I went straight to the back and it told me in Revelations that we win. Hallelujah. You should be excited to know that no matter what we're going through, that we win. I know it don't feel like it when you're going through it. I know it don't feel like it when they scandalizing your name. I know it don't feel like it when you're hurting in your body and it seems like you can't get well. I know it don't feel like when you're losing levels to coronavirus and you get this and your job is acting up and people doing this and people doing that and the house going crazy and the kids going crazy and the dog lost his mind. But I'm here to tell you today that in the end, we still win. Oh! Y'all, at the end, we still win. I want somebody to be inspired this morning. I want somebody to be uplifted this morning. Oh, yeah. Come on, somebody. Because at the end, we win. At the end, we win. If you would just take the time to read the manual. We came with a manual. And this is how he said, this is how you operate in this life. This is how you operate in this body. And if you will read the manual, I know sometimes things seem to malfunction from time to time, but he told me that what? He is the potter and I'm the clay, and he will do what? He will make me over again. So as he continues to make me over and over and over again, I have to what? Stand still and know that he is God. For it's he that's made us. And not we ourselves. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm fired up on this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is holiday weekend. I mean, weekend coming up before us. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Why don't somebody just send me an emoji or something? Throw a hand up. Let me know that you hear me out there this morning. Let me know that you're feeling this spirit this morning. Let me know that God is good. Put a comment there in Facebook Live. If you're on the Zoom, you got the emoji thing. Throw something up. Let us know that God, that he is able. And I don't care what it may look like. You know, God has really been testing me in this season because, you know, I'm preaching this thing. And so as me preaching this thing to you all, you know what? I'm forced to live it. Oh, yeah. I'm not one of those preachers who just talk a whole lot of stuff. But I live what I talk about. I go through what I talk about. I endure what I talk about. And I ain't going to sit here and tell you it's easy. Sometimes I'm a downright baby. I'm up there crying to God, Lord, why me? Lord, why is it they always picking on me? But you're talking that, now you got to walk it. Woo! Come on, somebody. Because somebody else is watching. Somebody else is going to be saved because they're going to see what you've been through. They're going to see how you handled what you went through. They're going to see how you went through what you went through and say, you know, there must be a God on his side. Because anybody else would have shot the place up. Anybody else would have shot the club up. Come on, somebody. Some of you have been, oh my God, we're going to talk about it today. Some of you have been so trampled on. Some of you have been so rejected. Some of you have been treated so bad that you think about it and in your mind you say, I should have shot the place up. But God is able. The vengeance is the Lord's. Hallelujah. That vengeance is the Lord. And he told us what? Don't you dare take it from me. Don't you dare take it from me. Why? Because if you do it, you might give it too much. If you do it, you might put on too much. If you do it, what? You're going to go in there and you're going to mess it up. But he said, let me take care of that. Mm-hmm. He said, let me handle that. Let me handle that. And if I handle it, you know what? It's going to be done right. It's going to be done right. It's going to be done well. So this is why he tells us that vengeance belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you this morning. I'm just grateful to God. Amen. I'm just so grateful to him as which all blessings flow. You all. Obviously, I am fired up. I'm in my, you know, I'm always, you know, in this element, in this. When God's spirit comes on me, I don't care how bad I'm feeling or what's going on in my body or what's going on in my mind. But when something about when God's people get together, the Bible said, deep call it the deep. When you all come in here and you pull on me and I pull on you, then some things that were in me just start to come out. Oh, come on, somebody. Some things that were in me just start to come out. And they just express themselves in such a way that God is what? Able to do above and beyond. And they what? Exceedingly glad, as they say. Exceedingly glad, exceedingly glad. And I'm just grateful this morning. Thank you all to the Safe House Church. If this is your first time being with us, I'm going to say good morning to you and welcome to the Safe House Church. I'm not crazy. You know, I'm just loving God. You know, when they go to the club and they go to the rap concert and they throwing themselves all over people and drinking each other, saliva and all this kind of stuff, then we look at them and talk, they crazy. But I can't come into church and I can't come in here and worship my God without them calling me crazy. Or then they're going to have to call me crazy then, because I know how good God has been to me. Even when I want good to myself, he didn't allow. And even when I want thinking about, you know, them or that or this situation, what he has done it for me. And I remember and I know, and I'm telling you that he is absolutely what? He's done it for you too. And I'm just grateful. Amen. Grateful, 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 grateful to all the members of the Safe House Church, to our prayer group that so diligently prays every single day, that are so faithful to that prayer group. You know, when we started it back in March, I had no intention. It wasn't my intention, but God knew. It was not my intention for that thing to keep going like that. But we got in there and we just kept going. And next thing you know, now we have a prayer group that meets Monday through Friday, every single morning. Amen. We got people as far as away from Houston, Texas, that are on that call with us every morning. It's 5 o'clock in the morning for them. We be on at 6, you know, and we just sitting there and we just praying and we reaching out to God. And I don't know about you, but prayer changes things. In fact, what prayer changes more than anything, it changes me. It changes my outlook on things. It changes how I see things. You know, the Bible said you can get angry, but you know, he said, what? Sin not. You can get upset, but what? You know, but even though that's getting upset, we cannot what? Upstep the boundaries that God has set before us. So we got to make sure, brothers and sisters, that we walk this walk, that we talk this talk, and that we live what we talk about. And I'm just so grateful to be with you on this day. Amen. As we continue to look for our place. So, you know, as many of you, our members already know that the place that we've been renting for the last 4 years now no longer can accommodate us due to things that were beyond their control and ours too. So we've been looking for a new place to go. And I think it's interesting, you know, typically I remember as a young man, you know, sometimes you didn't have money, you know, but you had, you know, all these places and we just opposite, you know, we have a, God has blessed us a little bit financially to be able to do some things, but we can't find anywhere that we believe that God wants us to go. So we're going to keep looking, we're going to keep going. But I also believe that, you know, as we get into this time of the coronavirus, that what, things look like we're about to be shut down again. Or we may be not having there because this new virus or this new strand is so contagious that we may have to go back to what we're doing. So maybe God is saving us a little rent. Come on. How many of y'all know that he knows before you know? See, he knows before we know. So God may already be saying, you know what? Y'all need to save that rent and y'all gonna move in March. So, you know, I'm just grateful, you know, so if this is what we got to do, we've used to this, we've done this, we've survived this before, and we'll survive this again. And next time we get together, we know we'll be in a glorious, glorious situation and place. Amen. I'm just so grateful for all that he's done. Merry Christmas to everybody. I know some reason it doesn't seem as Christmassy as it used to be, I guess. But, you know, I don't know. I'm older now, so maybe that's just that part. But, you know, I guess my kids are walking around talking about gifts and all these kind of things. So, you know, for the kids, I guess it's still, you know, the commercial holiday season. But many of us, and we all know that what, that Jesus is the reason for the season, that this is the time that we have picked to celebrate his birth. No, the Bible tells us that he was what? That he's the lamb. And we know that lambs are not born in the wintertime. Come on, somebody. But they're born in the spring of the year. So we don't know the definite date that he was born on. But I will say this, that the world has set aside this date to celebrate him. And that means that if they celebrate that this was his birth, then that means that he actually lived. Oh, come on, somebody. That he actually lived and he walked and he talked and he moved among the people as the Bible said he does. So I'm just grateful that he has done that. And I'm just so grateful to you all for being here. You could have been anywhere else. You could have been visiting anybody else's church or watching anybody else's cast, but you chose to be here. And for that, we are grateful. I believe that God has a mighty word to speak through me on today for you and what your situation is and what you're struggling with as we talk about this being the Christmas season. So again, Merry Christmas to everybody that's here on this cast. We love you. We thank you for being such a blessing to the Safe House Church here in Greensboro, North Carolina. You get an opportunity to give us a call, stop by, give us a chat. Just let us know that that this ministry has been blessing you and it's been helping you. And we're just so grateful for that in the name of Jesus. I want to give honor to my wife, First Lady Ely. We're just so grateful to have her, my companion by my side, my ride or die. As they said, my ride or die chick. Amen. And my children and my mother-in-law who resides here at the home with us. We're just so grateful that God has kept us yet another week, allowed us to go up and down the dangerous highways. No hurt, harm, or danger come to us in any form or fashion. And from my understanding, anybody in our circle, nobody has walked into any sickness or been harmed anyway. So I'm just grateful for God keeping the members of the Safe House Church. Your pastor loves you and he thanks you for your support. All right, so we're going to get into what I believe God has given me to share with you on today as we are walking into, like I said, the time of the year that this is known as Christmas, the Christmas time or the holiday time. And you have various holidays. You have Hanukkah, you have Kwanzaa. Then we have the other Jewish, the Jewish holiday that now eludes me. I don't want to mess it up out of respect, but you know what I'm saying. So it's many different things that's going on during this time period. And then we have this thing of what we call gifts. So, you know, at some point there was the exchange of gifts that started and this practice of giving, this known as being the giving season. So people have a tendency to give more during this time of the year than they have any other time. So people give and they receive gifts and they give gifts back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Amen. Some give gifts with the intention of getting something back. Some give gifts, you know, from the heart with no intentions and no ill will and no connection. And some don't have anything to give but what themselves. So we're just grateful to God for blessing all of us and keeping us here. Would you go ahead and hit the share button? If you have somebody, if you have a friend, if you're on Zoom, take that link, send that link to somebody that you know sitting at home, somebody who needs to be blessed. I just want this, you know, this the crowd to be just as full as possible. Amen. We have a good crowd there on Zoom. Amen. On this morning. Grateful for that. Here on the Facebook, we can do a little bit better. Amen. But we need to get, you know, a couple more in here as we go before the Lord in this word. Because I believe that this is a on-time word for somebody, that this is an on-time word that's going to bless some people. And I want as many to get this as possible. And to those on podcast, thank you for sticking with us on the podcast. Just keep downloading. I think we're up to like 37,000 downloads. Oh, come on, somebody. That's 37,000 times that somebody around the world has heard the message of the gospel. Amen. And as I always, you know, tell people, there's no repeats. I know sometimes there are preachers who repeat. And I get it. You know, I get it. But, you know, for me, I just don't. I mean, God hadn't built me like that. Amen. I mean, in certain situations, and I'm going to be honest, you know, is it hard to work? Yes. Some people say, oh, you know, might not get to perfect the message in this, and these people hadn't heard this and those that. But if they're on the podcast and it's there and I repeat it, then they heard it. So I get it when we're in a live situation. Maybe they preach the same word again that blessed somebody and they preach it again. But on the podcast, it's there. So they can scroll back and say, oh, yeah, he did. He talked about this one time before. You know, so if I do talk about something again, you know, it's probably a different angle that God is giving me on that. All right. So we're going to go in here. So I want to talk to you today. Let's go to the book. Let me see if I can get this right today. Hopefully I got my Bible thing set up right. We about to find out. Uh-oh. Been told on myself here. Let me get that set up here. We want to go to the book of St. Luke. We want to go to the book of St. Luke. Give me 1 second here. You know, like the Great Wizard of Oz, I didn't told on myself. You know, my little green screen there. Okay, we're better now. All right. A little glitch there. We want to go to the book of St. Luke. St. Luke, you want to go to the second chapter. I'm going to read a couple of verses here on today. And then we're going to switch over to got a couple of more books that we want to go through. So we want to start out in St. Luke. Let me see if I can get this a little bit bigger for those who may be watching by way of screen. Okay, yeah, there we go. How's that? All right, so we're going to go to the book of Luke, second chapter, verse 4. Second chapter, verse 4. I'm going to give you a minute to get there. The book of Luke, second chapter, verse 4. And it says this. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea and into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was out of the house and lineage of David. Remember, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ will come through, 42 generations and through the lineage of David. You can go to the first chapter in the book of Matthew, and you will get that lineage. You can start from right there, and it's read all the way down. This one begot this one, and this one begot this one, all the way down through the lineage to Jesus Christ. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So here, Mary, they're being taxed, and now Mary is great with child. All right, so great with child, meaning here she is pregnant. Prego. Say pregnant. Mm-hmm. Y'all gonna participate a little bit today. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she would be delivered, meaning now she is time to be due. And she brought forth her first son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Somebody say no room in the inn. All right, no room in the inn. All right, would you go over with me to 1 Samuel? We want to go to 1 Samuel 8 and 7. 1 Samuel 8 and 7. I'll give you a second to get there. That's Old Testament for y'all who might be lost. Old Testament, 1 Samuel 8 and 7. And it says this. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So he's here, he's telling Samuel, the people, what you say, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me, because I speak through you. It's me that they hate, not necessarily you. How many of you know sometimes when you see things and people come after you, they are not coming after you per se, but they're coming after that God that's in you. They come out what you stand for. They come out for the integrity. They come out for the glory of God that you stand for. Oh, come on, somebody. So this is why we got to remember, this is not about us. And I tell you all the time, people think this is about, no, it's not about you, but it's that God is in you that they see. Oh, come on, somebody. You don't see yourself the way somebody else sees you. You don't see yourself the way that somebody else sees you. That is critically important. Remember that. All right, one more verse, and I'm going to be done with the verses. I want to go over to Matthew 10, start at verse 11. Matthew 10, start at verse 11. Okay, let me go down here, verse 11, and watch this. And he says, and into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy. Who in it is worthy? And thereby to thee ye go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. Okay? And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And let whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. For verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. It will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for that city. If I were to use for a subject on today, and you hopefully you can labor with me just for a little while here this morning, I want to use on the subject the gift of rejection. My gift to you on this Christmas, on this Sunday morning, is to talk to you about the gift of rejection. Now, I know when you first start out and you say something like this, you know, a gift or what? A gift or rejection. That rejection itself is a gift. Depends on how you look at it. You know, what we find out is that life, you know, there's a smart man who once said, or a woman who said one time, that life is, that they're convinced that life is what? 90% what, 10% what happens to them, and 90% of how we react to what has happened to us. That life is 10% what happens to us, and 90% of how we react to it. As I was reading here on today, we started out with the story of Jesus that we know that many people read during this time of the year. As you can see over my shoulder, we have the three wise men, and we know the story is that the wise men saw the star and they traveled there by night. They went to see the new king. There was talk and prophecy of a new king, and this star would lead them to this new king. And as they followed this, and they followed this star, that they would what, go towards this new king. And as they went to see this new king, they had to walk on faith. And faith that what this king was going to be there and he's going to be established. Now, when we think about king and we think about kingdom, we think about glorious things. We think about power. We think about prestige. We think about monarch. We think about ultimate rule. We think about sovereignty. We think about peace. We think about strength. I think about our Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for he always wanted to come to be our king. But we decided that what we wanted something different. We rejected him as our king. In fact, when he came on this earth, we rejected him. So then the Bible goes on and says that what, as these wise men here were going to go see Jesus and they were going to go find the king, they didn't know quite what his name was at this point. In fact, all they knew that a new king was being born and it was going to be a boy king. And therefore, you do not ever come before the king without a gift. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't understand how some of us can come to church and come to things and ask God to do things, and we don't even bring him the gift. We don't even bring him the sacrifice or praise. Sometimes a gift ain't always, you know, monetary. People think, first thing they think is that you're talking about money. No, that you giving him the gift of your life. Why? Because your life is not your own. That what you were bought with a price, and that price was his blood that was shed on Calvary. So you have to be reminded of that you were bought with a price. Mm-hmm. So what, sometimes he just wants what? He just wants the sacrifice of our praise. Sometimes he just wants the sacrifice of our body. He just wants the sacrifice of our obedience. Why is it a sacrifice? Why? Because I typically don't want to be obedient. I typically don't want to do what I got to do. I typically don't want to go where I'm supposed to go. I don't know about you, but I don't like to eat right. It's a sacrifice to eat right. Now, there's a blessing in eating right, but there's a sacrifice. Why? Because honey buns taste better. Mm-hmm. It tastes better than broccoli and collard greens and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. That I know that what my body may need to make me better and to make me whole. There's a lot of things in this book here that we read, of this 66 canonized book, that tells us that's going to make us better, that's going to make us whole. But what, we refuse to eat. We reject it. Mm-hmm. So as the story goes on, then what, Joseph and Mary are now going. In fact, they're in the city of Bethlehem. Why? Because Caesar Augustus has now called what, for everybody to be taxed. So you come to the city to pay your taxes. And because they came to the city to pay their taxes, then everybody was traveling to the city. And Mary and Joseph got here a little late. So therefore, there was no room in the inn. The inn being the hotel, the motel. Hotel, motel, whatever the case may be. At this point now, they have nowhere to stay, and Mary is with baby. I remember as a time as a young boy when I was coming up there, you always give a pregnant woman your seat. You always open up the door for a lady. You always show some type of chivalry. You are always kind to elderly people. You listen to them, even if you didn't want to hear what they had to say, that you act like you were listening. There was a day of respect, and there was a day of time that we paid attention to what they had to say. We gave them the respect to be able to talk and be able to go forward and do whatever it is that they wanted to do, even if I knew they were wrong. I learned my place, and I shut my mouth, and I let them go on and do whatever it is that they wanted to do out of respect. Because why? Because one day they tell me that I'm going to get there, and you would want the same respect for somebody. So for you to get respect, you must give respect. And because of this, now we see that Mary is walking around with, they see that Mary is great with child. In fact, so much to the point that she's about to have the baby, and yet they have nowhere to stay. I find it appalling that they were rejected at the end. that everybody already had their room. Everybody already had their seat. They didn't care that this woman was walking around with a child, about to have a baby, about to drop this baby out at any moment in time. All they saw is what they wanted for themselves. They wanted their own comfort. They wanted their own peace. They wanted their own space. They were like, here, we were here first. And what they did not care about what she was carrying. They didn't care about what she was going through. They didn't care about how she looked and how and what she brought with her. But they didn't yet know that she was carrying a king in her womb. See, sometimes brothers and sisters, we see brothers, you know, we see others walking around and we look at them and we look at their state. I remember on last week, this time we had been out there and we was out there and we was doing our giveaways and we were looking at people with all kinds of states and all kinds of situations, all kinds of circumstances. And some were looking at them, but you didn't know who out there was carrying something. You don't know who out there was carrying a king in their belly. You don't know who out there was also carrying something that God has called them, that this right here is just a season in their life, that where they are, it's not going to be a temporary situation, but it's just a minor setback, a minor situation that they're in right now, but God is using that season to what bring them to much to maturation and maturity in Him. I'm here to tell you today to remind you that sometimes the thing that you're going through is not necessarily about you, but it's God using you for His glory. I'm reminded about Joseph and I'm reminded about Job, that God used them for His glory, that they went through things and situations and circumstances, but at the end that God saves His people. At the end that God's opened up the door. Sometimes the situation is not bad enough for you to be there yet. And yet we find that Mary and Joseph, what? Now they're going. They have been rejected at the end. Oh, come on, somebody. They have been rejected at the end. So what they do? So now the Bible tells us that they move on. And we know as the story goes that they find shelter where? In the animal's den. They found shelter where the animals were. That tells me that what? Number one, they were seeing them as less of a people. You were better off being where the animals were. Why? Because we rejected you. We didn't care about you. We cared about what we had. We cared about ours. We cared about the way we looked. We cared about the way we talked. That we care so much that we have to be careful, brothers and sisters. Do we care so much about the way we look and the way we feel and the way we see things that what we forget about the people of God, the real people that God wants to harvest, the ones that He wants to bring in, the ones He wants to raise up, the one He wants to turn things around. We have to be careful about that. We talking about the gift of rejection. We talked about last week that what the man was at the gate of beautiful. We talked about an axe and how he was sitting there and what he asked for alms all day long. And all he did was ask for alms. And Peter and John walks up to him and says, silver and gold have I none, but yet do I have such that I give unto you. They reject the notion to be able to give him alms, but yet they give him what he needed. He was asking for one thing, but yet he needed another. Mm-hmm. So we talked about what? The gift of rejection. So yet he was rejected. As we move on, we talked about here now the what? The bread of life, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords here. The Bible tells us now that He is being born in a manger. If you know anything about a manger is nothing but a food trough. Those who are agriculture, those from the country, you know what I'm talking about. When you would go out and use what we call slop the hogs, that you would pour this food into this wooden trail, like trail or falls, like kind of almost like a ditch kind of thing. But it would be made out of wood, and they would pour the food in there, or they would pour the grain in there, so the animals wouldn't eat the food directly off the ground, but they would eat it where? Out of this thing that we called a manger. Mm-hmm. Then the Bible talks about her, the baby being what? White, wrapped in swaddling clothes. What are swaddling clothes? Swaddling clothes are nothing. As T.D. Jakes said, the milk rags. They are the milk rags. They are the rags that what? That they removed. And these rags are what? Now, these are the ones that they were wiping stuff up with. So now she wraps them up in there and send them in the manger. I find it interesting that you know, he's growing from the what? The milk to the meat, that the bread of life, that one that we're going to eat of, the one that we're going to learn of, the one that we're going to come not to reject, but to accept, was what? In a food trough, that what? We eat of him. Mm-hmm. That we sustain him. When we talk about his body, when we get to the point that we do what? Our communion, that we talk about this is the blood, the fruit of the vine that represents his blood. And then we talk about the bread, and we break the bread, and this is what broken for his body, that what that was broken for us. I find it strange, and I don't find it strange that all these things, what, that they connect, they started, that he is what, that lamb. Mm-hmm. He's the bright and morning star. He's the lily of the valley. Elohim. El Shaddai. Mm-hmm. So what, now we find out, so now here, as the story goes, that what, then the kings come to find him, and they come in, what, they don't reject him, but they accept him. Now, I find it interesting that you and I, that we come up in a time that, what, we're born of woman. And when we're born of woman, that, what, we're born into sin and iniquity. And what we have to do, what, is accept the gift. That, what, there's a gift that Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross. And when he was giving his life on the cross, it was a gift to you and I. It was a gift to you and I that, what, he was giving us the gift of salvation. He was giving us the gift of being able to live. He was giving us the gift to be able to, what, to live a life that's going to be redeemed and, what, be reconciled unto him. And as we live this life of redeemed life, that, what, we must follow the manual that he's left on record for us to know, what, that do not be weary in well-doing, that, well, we would be rejected for his name. In fact, you are rejected for his name, not you being rejected, but the name is being rejected. And because you represent the name, because you represent that, and you wear that cloak, and you wear that on you, then, what, you are rejected. But how many of you know there's a gift in rejection? Say it with me. There is a gift in rejection. I'm handing you the gift of rejection today. So now we find that, what, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he has been rejected. Not only was he rejected early on, but now he's been rejected here, what, in the infancy. He's been rejected all his life. He gets to the point that he's continually rejected. He tells people that he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. He tells people that he is God. And they ask him, they reject him in so fact that, what, that he gets crucified for claiming to be God, even though we knew he was. Because they mock him and say, what, here lies the King of the Jews. Here lies, what, the King of the Jews. There's, what, rejection. Yet he was rejected again. As we went on and we read in 1 Samuel, the Bible talks about where Samuel the prophet was out there. He said, look, Samuel, you tell them what I told you to tell them. You say what I tell you to say. And if they reject me, they're not rejecting you, but they're rejecting me because I speak through you. I am, your mouth is just my mouthpiece that I speak this thing into you. And as I speak this into you, then what? This goes through you. And now you take this and what? You speak it out. Mm-hmm. You say what it is that I tell you to say. You move how I call you to move. You go where you call to go, and you say what I tell you to say. This is why it's critically important that we follow his word to a T. Why? Because there's instructions that he gives to us to somebody else, just like I'm giving you instruction on this morning, that there, what, there is a gift in your rejection. I know that you feel rejected. I know people reject you. You are the square peg trying to get in the round hole. You've always been kind of weird. You've always been kind of ostracized. You've kind of been that, but I'm here to tell you today, there is a blessing in that rejection, because Jesus Christ himself was a life of rejection. Everything about him was rejected. How he came to this earth and reject, he was rejected. How could you call yourself a king and come into the animal barn? How can you call yourself a king and be born in Brooklyn Zoo? Oh, come on, somebody. How can you call yourself a king and yet you be sitting in a manger and you're wrapped in milk, old dirty milk rags, where the animals eat from? Yet you call yourself a king. See, brothers and sisters, some of you are speaking those things as if they were in your own life, and people looking at you weird, like, how can you say this about yourself when you're in this situation? How can you say this about yourself when you can't even pay your mortgage? How can you say this about yourself when your children are out here strung on crack and then drugs and out here being promiscuous? How can you say this when you can't keep your own marriage? How can you say this? But you speak those things as if they were. The Bible said we walk in by faith and not by sight. So I'm calling those things as if they were. They didn't see King of Kings, the Lord, when they saw him laying in the manger. But the wise men did. Uh-huh. The kings came and what they worshiped because they saw what was there, what was going to come, and what was going to be. I'm here to tell you today that you're going to see what's going to be. The Bible talks about, we went in and we read in the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, it talks about when he went into a city and talking about as they went in and they preached God's word and they came in and they gave them what they had. And if they rejected what they had, that you are what? Don't you get upset. Don't you get all bent out of shape. Don't you get to the point that you get all twisted, that you are to dust your feet off, baby, and say, you know what? That's your loss. So when they reject you, you go in and you go in with peace. You go in with the thing that you're going to bless the house, that you're going to do well by them, that you're going to do right because the right thing is the right thing to do. You're going to go in and that what you're going to go ahead and you're going to give them love, even though when they reject you. But he said, when they get to the point that they reject you, dust your feet off and go where? Go somewhere else. Why? Because I have somebody else who loves you. Are y'all with me? There's somebody who's seeking your love. There's somebody who's going after you. There's somebody who wants your grace. There's somebody who wants your love. There's somebody who wants your power. There is a person who wants what? Not to be rejected, but would accept that gift of rejection. Oh, yeah, come on, I feel my help coming on here. That is what? A gift of rejection. Jesus Christ is rejection himself. Why? Because he's against the status quo. He's against everything. When they say go up, he say go down. When they say go down, he say go up. When they go left, he say go right. He said promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the north or the south, but promotion comes from God. So I give it to you when I'm ready for you to have it. Why? Because I know you. He said, well, I order the steps, that the steps of a good man or what are ordered by him. So therefore, when I keep walking this walk and I keep talking this talk, and even though I stumble, he said that a just man falleth what? Seven times. But what makes him just is that he knows that he can get up. So I want to hear you tell you today that even though you've been rejected, that you get on up and you walk in faith. Hey. Are y'all with me this morning? Thank you there on the podcast. We do have some, thank you, what's that, revolutionary brother? Hey, man, this is the first time I can actually see somebody out there. I appreciate you. If ain't nobody else going to do it, it's going to be me and brother revolutionary bro out here on the podcast that we live on this morning. Thank you, Lord. So as we go forward here, look, what is he doing? So he goes in and tells them, wait, dust your feet off. Do you not know that you being rejected is a gift to somebody else? Jesus Christ being rejected was a gift to us. You being rejected, do you not know there's giftings and callings inside of you, things that God has put inside of you, that what, it's been rejected by the masses, but there is a gift to somebody else. See, some of us, we've been spending all our time trying to put ourselves on somebody else. Lord, I want to be here, I want to be here, and I want to hear, I want to hear, I want to hear. And they keep clearly telling you that we don't want you. They keep clearly telling you we just tolerate you. They keep clearly telling you that, you know, we just dealing with what we got to deal with. Why? Because, you know, it is what it is. And until we can do better, we just going to put up with your stuff. I'm here to tell you today, the Bible says what? On that day of Sodom and Gomorrah, he said that it was going to be better for them in Sodom and Gomorrah than it was what? For them to reject you. So you got to know who you are and whose you are, and that you're walking in this thing. You got to know what you're called to do. I don't care what they say about me. I find myself sometimes, in, you know, and I have my own pity parties from time to time. Oh, we all do. I can tell the truth and shame the devil because I can talk about me. But when I get done wallowing in that thing, when I get done sitting in my virtual sackcloth and ashes, see, that's what they did in the Bible. When they felt sorry for themselves, the Bible said they would get what in sackcloth. Why sackcloth? Because that stuff would itch you. It would be irritating you. And they would sit in ashes. Because this is what how they believed that what God was hearing them. This is how they had a form of self-punishment or self-rejection to say, look, here I am, Lord. I want to hear from you so bad that I'm willing to subject my body to this sackcloth, which is going to irritate and itch me all day long. And I'm just going to be itchy, itchy, itchy. How many of you ever been itching? Isn't that just something? You can scratch an itch so much into what? You remove the skin. Mm-hmm. So what they do is what? They put themselves in that situation, sackcloth and ashes. So we all have our moments. We all have our sackcloth and ashes moments. But I'm here to tell you today that rejection that you are is a gift to somebody else. See, we had this old saying where I come from that one man's junk is another man's treasure. That one thing that you was going to throw out on the side of the road. See, I live in a neighborhood. Sometimes we have these mass trash pickup days. And you see people put couches and all kinds of stuff out there, grills and all kinds of things that they don't discard, that they don't want anymore. But I also see somebody come through here in an old regular pickup truck, and they'll stop right there, and they'll get the stuff before the city even come to get it. Oh, come on, somebody. Am I telling the truth this morning? They'll come get the stuff before the city even comes to get it. And when they come get it, why? Because that's a treasure to them. Many of them take it over where? To the steel yard and to the other recycling places. And they get that thing recycled. And now what was junk to you has become money to them. Are y'all with me? Now watch this. That was what? Treasure for them. So your junk, has now become a treasure for them. Now watch this. And the treasure they gave to somebody else is now a treasure for them too. So who? It's a win-win all the way around. Do y'all not see how this thing works? What I thought was rejection, what I rejected, what I didn't think was good, they took and they what? Went and they made it something else, and they gave it to the recycling people and they made it something else. So I got what I needed out. They got what they needed. They needed some extra cash. And the recycling people got what they needed. They got something that they can redo and make again. Do you see how we all are so connected? The gift of rejection. Why don't you bless somebody with the gift and say, let me come and talk to you with my old rejected self. Slap your neighbor, touch somebody, hit me virtually and say, hey, let me tell you about my old rejected self. Because you're looking at somebody here who's been rejected many times. Oh, they told me, like I'm preaching you all right now, that I would never preach. Oh, yeah, they told me that. That, yeah, you know, because I didn't sing well and all this stuff. And, you know, they won't probably give me a license and all this. And they wouldn't let me preach in their churches and all this stuff. But you know what? God has a way. And I'm so grateful for the rejection, man. Because I found a whole new avenue. I found another lane that God has been trying to push me in. Instead of me trying to put on, it's almost like David. Remember how David would put on what? David would, they told David, go ahead and fight Goliath. And what the first thing they do? They went in there and they gave David Saul's armor. And what does David do? David says, I can't fight in this armor. I don't know it. It's not been tested. See, sometimes you got to know within yourself that God, even in all this rejection and even what you're struggling with, that God has something for you that's different. I know they did it this way. I know that they said it's been proven this way, but sometimes God is calling you and pioneering you into a different way. Nobody saw Joseph ascending to the second in the throne of Pharaoh the way he did. Oh, come on, somebody. Nobody saw Daniel going to the throne the way he did. Nobody saw Jesus Christ coming to the throne through a manger in Bethlehem the way he did. And I'm here to tell you today that they don't see you coming either. They don't see you coming the way you coming. They don't see you walking. Why? Because you are the underestimated warrior. They've overlooked you. They've rejected you. They thought nothing about you. Oh, he don't mean nothing. Oh, he don't know what he's doing. Oh, she don't know what she's doing. But I'm here to tell you today that God loves to reject it. He said, come unto me, all that are lame and burdened, and I shall give you rest. Because I can use you. I can take you and I can make you again. I can make you again. I can form you again. That which the Bible said, what? He told Ezekiel, can these bones live again? Can sinew connect, sinew and tissue to tissue? Can these dry bones live again? And I'm here to tell you that they can, because what? If they're listening to the word, if they are what? Taking it in, and they're listening, and they're walking by faith, all of a sudden, they're what? You'll be Peter stepping out the boat, and you'll be walking on water when they told you you couldn't walk. You'll be about the bumblebee. You'll be flying when they told you you're supposed to fly. When everything about you didn't seem like you're supposed to fly, your body was too fat for your little wings. But all of a sudden, you're starting to move. All of a sudden, you're starting to walk. All of a sudden, you're starting to grow, and you're starting to get. And what you realize is that it's not me, but Lord, it's you, Lord, you that's God. In myself. It's you that's helping me to walk. It's you that's helping me to talk. It's you that's taking me to the next level. And I understand that I am bought with a price, that I have a call on my life, that I cannot do it the way they do it, because I'm not made the way they made, because I've been rejected to be a blessing to somebody else. Woo! Oh, Lord. Oh, come on, somebody. See, so I have some points here for you. I want to bring them home for you today. See, number one, for my note takers, hallelujah. For those who take your notes, you want to take these notes here real quick. See, let me tell you about the gift of rejection. What does the gift of rejection bring with it? It starts off with reflection, self-reflection. What is self-reflection? Just thought. See, sometimes when you are rejected, you got to stop and sit back and think, Lord, why? And, you know, the first thought in that rejection is self-pity. Why they don't want me? What's wrong with me? Why am I not good enough? Why do I not have this? I thought I was just as good as them. Or I thought I had this. Lord, I thought it was my turn. I thought I was entitled to be next. And then when you start to get through all that stuff, you got to work through it. Yes, it's the steps. You got to work through it, though. Does it hurt? Oh, yes, it does. Woo, yes, it does. I'm talking from experience, y'all. But you work through that. And as you work through that, what you find is what? Remember, so now what? Joseph and Mary find themselves what? Rejected. And now they're reflecting. Lord, what are we going to do? And the man tells them, well, you can go out there in that manger. I mean, out there in that shed out there. And y'all can sleep there. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to charge you. So they go on out there and they reflect and say, Lord, we must be giving birth to this baby. Why do we find ourselves in an animal shelter? Lord, we're giving birth to this baby. Lord, why are we here? Lord, we're giving birth to the Safe House Church, this new church, this, you know, this double blessing, the year of double blessing that's about to be upon us, oh God. So why are we having church at home today virtually? Oh, come on, somebody. Lord, Lord, what you're doing, Lord, you're blessing us, oh God, and you're changing things. And we're going now. So, Lord, why are we sitting at home with this? Why is it's different? Why are we in this situation, in this place, in this circumstance? Lord, I'm supposed to be the head and not the tail. I'm supposed to be above and not believe. So, Lord, why do I feel like I'm on the bottom? Why do I feel like I'm always looking up? Why does it feel like those are over me? Lord, they mean no good. Lord, and why does it seem like the wicked prosper? Why does it seem like those who manipulate and fight their way and bite their way and kiss their way and all this stuff and politic their way to the top? Why does it seem? But the Bible said, yeah, it does. But it's only for a season. See, the difference between you and them is this. We win all the time. They only win for a season. Their window's like this, your window's like this. Because as long as you're doing what God has called you to do, then he'll move you where he needs to move you. He'll walk you where you need to walk. He'll talk you where you need to talk. He'll take you where you need to be. He'll place you, your feet, on the solid rock to stand. That's what he said. So let's go to number two. So, all right, so now I'm reflecting and I find myself in this situation. Like, okay, God, what do we do? Well, this amazing thing happens then. You get this thing called creativity. Creativity. God is what? He's the creator. So therefore, if he's in me, then I in him and he in me, then what? That means I have some of God's creative ability. Are y'all with me? And I can what? I can create. So he gives me my thoughts. The Bible said like that he would give me the desires of my heart. So he gives me my thoughts. He gives me what to think. So now what is creativity? So what does Adam and Joseph do in getting creativity? They go ahead and they make themselves comfortable there in the shed. They make themselves comfortable, so comfortable. In fact, what do? They say, that food truck over there, it look like that might be a good old bassinet right there. So they take the out of creativity and they say, oh, you see these milk rags right here? That'll be some good rags to wrap the baby in. I think he'll be nice and warm in that. In fact, they might be soft. They already might be milk soft. So therefore, what down there, creativity takes over. Lord, no, we don't have church, but Lord, we can have church right here online. Lord, you blessed us with some awesome equipment. You gave us the internet. You gave us Facebook. You gave us Zoom. You gave us YouTube. Lord, we gave us the podcast. Let's use all these things. Let's be creative. We've already been doing this. We were doing this before many people even thought about doing it because you have given us the ability, Lord, to see beyond this. You've given us vision. You've given us what the future is going to look like. So therefore, what? We are already ready. So if we ever need it on the drop of a hat, here we go. So, yeah, church, we're not in the building, but we're here. Rejected to be a gift. And it starts with creativity. So, yeah, we'll be a little bit more creative. Yeah, we'll do a little bit more. Who will be doing this like this? And we'll do it that way. Why? Because there's no one way. The Bible said what? That you know, the end result is going to still be the same. He uses different methods. One time he told Moses to talk to the rock. The next time he told him to hit the rock. Do you see what I'm saying? The methodology might change, but the end result is going to be the same. God's going to get his glory. So the third point in this is then what? Number three, redirection. See, one thing about when you reject it, think about something that's rejected. You know, we talk about, like, y'all know I play basketball, and it used to be like when you shoot the ball and the ball was a miss, when it was a miss, the ball would come off, it would bounce off, and we would call it a rebound. Meaning that way, it would come off and it would be done again. So a rebound, what it would do? A rebound would what? The ball would hit the basket and it would come back, and we would go get it. And therefore, what? When it was rejected, it came what? It came back. So when you've been rejected, then maybe there is chance for redirection. That okay, maybe this was not where I was supposed to be. Maybe this is not how I'm supposed to have said that. Maybe this is not how I actually was supposed to do that. It doesn't mean that it's over. It's just been redirected. Okay, God, maybe I'm supposed to go this way this time and not that way. Maybe I should go around that way and not that way this time. Are y'all with me this morning? Redirection. So right now, what? You reflect first. when you find yourself in rejection, because you got to get through all that stuff. You got to get through the bitterness. You got to get through the pain. You got to get through the hurt. You got to get through the ego part. Mm-hmm. Ego stands for what? Edging God out. Thank Country Wayne for that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk with that one. So what? Edging God out. So we get through our ego. We get through our hurt and our self-pity and all this stuff. And now we worked our way all the way through that stuff. And now what? Now we get into the point that what God is starting now, allow the creative juices to come. Like, okay, this is how I can make this work without this. And this is how I can do this with limited resources. And this is how I can do this with no money. And this is how I can do this with this. And I can do this with that. And you find yourself, what, now making things happen with limited resources. And then with that limited resources, now he gives you what? A new way to direct. Now this time, God is the way. And what? You're learning the voice of God. You're learning this. Because see, sometimes even when you reject it, in that rejection, there's a chance for you to build. And that's why sometimes you have to be rejected. Why? Because sometimes in rejection is the only time you're going to get some of this stuff out of you. And sometimes in rejection that you're only going to learn certain things. And sometimes in rejection that you're only going to get certain things. And sometimes in rejection that you're only going to get certain attributes and certain anointings that God has called you out, because you'll have grace on somebody else when they've been rejected. See, the give grace, sometimes you have to obtain grace. And if you have grace and you know that God's grace is sufficient for you, then you would know also what? That it's also sufficient for me to give grace to somebody else. And the last part, to me, probably one of the most important parts is this. Number four, trust him. So in my rejection, in my redirection, trust that the redirection or the delay or the sense of going in another space, in another place, is what? It's godly orchestrated. The Bible said what? A good man's steps are ordered. Our steps are ordered. So therefore, if he changes us, look, you needed me to hit that wall one time so I can learn this. And now that I learned this, let me hit this wall and not hit it no more, but walk in this direction and trust what you're doing, God, because I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how you're going to turn this in my favor, but I know that you're going to turn in my favor. Even when it looked like I lost, Lord, I won. And even when it looked like I gave up, Lord, I am not giving up, but I'm holding on to your unchanging hand to know, Lord Jesus, that I got to trust you. And in all that I do, in all I get in getting under this wisdom, Lord, I have to get some understanding how to apply that which you put in me, how to apply that which you've laid in me, to apply that, Lord, what you said in me, Lord, to go forth, Lord Jesus, and know that even in that rejection, that I'm a gift to somebody else. That as I walk in rejection, Lord, that I reflect and that I'm creative and that I redirect. And after I redirect, Lord, that I'm still trusting you. Are you trusting him today? And then to this time, and as I'm about to close and I'm done this morning, that there's a gift in your rejection. Some of you are walking in rejection. Some of you have been rejected. Some of you dealt with some things, and some of you find yourself in a place of desolate and situation and say, Lord, how did I find myself here? Lord, how did this happen to me? Lord, why am I here? Lord, what in the world? Lord, how did this go on? But I'm here to tell you today, there is a blessing in the rejection. There's a blessing in the rejection that he has it. We just got to trust him and know that, you know what? He's got it. 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 And that, you know, because he is God and it's he that's made us and not we ourselves. But he got it. He got it. He got it. He got it. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me this morning? Thank you. Lord, as we end this cast on today, Lord, I ask that you touch your people, God. Look upon them, oh God. Strengthen them, oh God. Help them, oh God. Let them know, Lord, there is a blessing in your rejection, Lord. All the things that we're trying to do our own way, the places that we find ourselves, the situations that we find ourselves in, oh God, the things that we do, oh God. But Lord, I thank you. Lord, we love you and we praise your name, Lord, for it's none like you in all the land. Lord, we love you. Lord, I ask that we take this gift of rejection, oh God, that we learn to reflect on it, oh God, and remove those things of us, Lord Jesus, that are keeping us from going to the next level, oh God. But Lord, you then we take that, Lord, and grab your creativity, oh God. Learn how to do things differently, Lord, how to do them better, Lord, how to use the limited resources and the situations and the things that we have, oh God. And from that, oh God, that we, Lord, we walk in, Lord Jesus, redirection, oh God, that you send us another way. Send us another way, Lord, and that we trust you in the process, oh God. Lord, Lord Jesus, that you got it. So, Lord, I don't worry no more, Lord, and I give it to you. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name, oh God, and we give your name the honor and the praise, Lord, the glory and the power, Lord, for it's yours and yours alone. But there is a blessing in this this rejection. I'm not just rejected to be rejected, oh God, but I'm rejected because I belong to somebody else. I am rejected because I'm a gift to somebody else. I'm rejected, oh God, because, Lord, you have set me, Lord Jesus, to be the answer for somebody else. And I thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise your name. And we give your name the honor, the praise, the glory, and the power, Lord, for it belongs to you and you alone. But we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith, not by sight. Woo! Oh! Did y'all feel that this morning? I told y'all, God been messing with me. God been working with me, y'all. Sometimes you got to go through some things. And I ain't going to sit and tell y'all I'm the first to like that. I'm not. I know nobody likes going through things, but we're just so grateful that God loves us. And even what we go through, what does he do? He blesses. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you, this morning as we transform over, if this message has been a blessing to you on this morning, we ask that you all bless us there in offering, hallelujah. That you be a blessing there in the offering this morning. It's offering time in the temple today. You can bless us by way of what? Cash out.